Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijane go shabothya, nijane go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, 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 hey
Music from the native drum, That Tribe, off their Canyon Records CD, Best of Both Worlds, World 1. The name of the song was entitled, We're Still Here, an honor song to the survival of us Indian people who have fought to keep our cultures alive, fought to protect Mother Earth throughout the long history of more than 500 years of colonization and oppression of us indigenous peoples here in what's now called North America and throughout the world. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we are honored to have two very special guests who are both active in what I term Earth Justice. Earth Justice refers to having reverence for Mother Earth and concern for cultural, social, economic, and environmental justice for all peoples, for all life. My guests are Mr. Doug Fuller and Christopher Mayetta Peace. Doug and Christopher are accompanying one of my planetary heroes, Julia Butterfly Hill, on the 2005 Circle of Life, We the Planet Bus Tour. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have previously heard our program that featured my interview with Julia Butterfly and her wisdoms from Circle of Life. We the Planet Bus Tour is a nationwide speaking tour in order to inspire people to become more active in the important work of creating a more peaceful, just, and sustainable planet. Through nearly a dozen stops at universities, colleges, and conferences, these environmental activists bring a message of living in a way that honors the diversity and interdependence of life, an ethic we at Yad Kiddushi Native Center share. The We the Planet Bus Tour highlights positive solutions and creative strategies that can help heal and transform our world. The Circle of Life bus exemplifies a clean environment message. The bus is literally a model showcase of sustainability on wheels. It is powered by 100% recycled vegetable oil. This biofuel reduces air toxic emissions by 60 to 90%. The bus is equipped with energy efficient appliances that run on solar power. A closed-loop gray water system means that the vehicle's toilet only uses one pint of water to flush, much less than most commodes. The interior of the bus, namely the sleeping bunks, furniture, and cabinetry, was built from recycled materials. Upholstery and insulation was made entirely from reclaimed and renewable fibers. Even the flooring was made from bamboo, which can grow without chemical fertilizers. The We the Planet bus is an eco-friendly vehicle that shows an alternative to an oil-guzzling, polluting transportation system. Doug Fuller and Christopher Mayetta Peace, in addition to their work with Julia Butterfly in Circle of Life, have themselves been leaders in the youth environment movement. Doug has been involved with the fine organization Youth for Environmental Sanity, YES. YES helps visionary young leaders build a better world by connecting, inspiring, and empowering young change makers to join forces for a thriving, just, and sustainable way of life. Christopher has been involved with the organization Reclaim the Commons. This group is active in many anti-globalization issues, such as biotechnology and genetically modified organisms, and other threats from privatization and corporate power. Wolf Mountain Radio is very honored to have met them when we of Yad Kiddushi Native Center helped bring Julia Butterfly Hill and We the Planet Bus Tour to Pahokee, what's now called Southwest Florida, the seminal traditional homeland of the Western Everglades, to speak at Florida Gulf Coast University and Edison Community College in the winter of 2005. I really want to again welcome Doug Fuller and Christopher Mayetta Peace to Wolf Mountain Radio. We shall begin by listening to Mr. Doug Fuller.
Hi, my name is Doug Fuller. I'm hired on as Julia's bus driver, which we've been traveling on free vegetable oil that we get from behind restaurants. And so we started out with that bus, and it needs a new transmission, so we currently aren't using that right now. But I'm still her driver, and we have a couple more weeks on the road yet, and we're heading across the south back to California. And it's been wonderful meeting many great people, helping bring together a lot of great organizations to help them work together to create more positive change in their communities. And I'm honored to be on this tour and look forward to the rest of it.
As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Native Radio know, I've had the honor to network with a number of very fine student and youth groups over the past few years, focusing on what in English is called environmental justice, anti-globalization, my work with the student farm workers where I live in Immokalee. So I know that you yourself have also participated in some student and youth environmental activism in the past, and that's, if I understand, how you became friends with Julia. Would you talk a little bit about that and your friendship with her?
Yeah, I've known Julia for a few years now, and we first met at a camp that was put on by Youth for Environmental Sanity, also known as YES. And their website is yesworld.org, and they're doing great work bringing together young change makers to help them connect and share their information and have just a relaxing time together just to refuel for the work that they've been doing. We met at one of those camps and have continued our relationship since then, and I've also done some work in the past, and this is definitely, as far as working for the environment, this is definitely one of the most inspiring tours that I've been on, because it's really turning people on all across the country to their ability to create positive change in the world just through the little things they do, and hopefully help them be inspired to do some larger things as well. So I'm really excited about what we're doing here, and I hope this continues on outside of this tour, this kind of work. It's just really powerful going to these communities that aren't exposed to this type of message and sharing this information and the hope and the insights that Julia has. And I've learned a lot from her on this tour, and every day that I'm with her, I learn a lot more, and just really honored to be a part of this.
A lot of the issues that Julia is concerned about, as I am as well, are very serious ecological, cultural, economic, social justice issues that really think about honoring all life on Mother Earth. How do you keep your optimism? How do you have your sense of hope when you know that really at this time in 2005 there are a lot of serious things that are really happening? The rate of deforestation, the rate of desertification, just the situation with global climate change. I mean, we could go on this whole rest of the evening talking about very specific environmental issues that are very serious, and really what I sometimes call the enemy is very powerful. Multinational corporations, forest industries are very powerful. Bush administration, they're just bulldozing and really steamrolling Mother Earth. How do you maintain your optimism and hope?
Well, one way I do that is just by finding ways to be of service. A realization I had while on the tour is if there was no opportunities to be of service on this planet, life would just not be very fulfilling. See all these challenges that we face as far as the degradation of the environment and human rights issues. I see them instead of as things to get depressed about, I see them as chances to really rise up in service and find purpose through that service and joy. And so I find ways to just help out wherever I can, especially when I'm starting to feel down. I just look around and say, what can I do instead of just going in a downward spiral? I just look for little opportunities to help out here and there. And one other thing that I've been doing to really keep my inspiration and excitement up about the future is a practice that I recently learned about, that I guess several Native American cultures have practiced, different tribes have practiced, which involves watching the sunrise and the sunset. And it's a great meditative practice that I've been doing, that if you're interested in learning more about it, the website is solarhealing.com. And it not only helps heal the mind, but the body and the environment as well, because through this practice we can shift into a more enlightened way of living. So solarhealing.com is another way I really keep my inspiration up.
In the Indian world, we find it's hard to explain. He lived by his religion in the way of life. I like to try to explain some of the songs to you. And the first song I like to do for you is what is known as a sunset. Benaguan, Benajinda, Shinjindi, Zaye, Ye, 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 Benaguan, Benajinda, Shiljindi, Zaye, Ye, 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 The sun rises from the east and it sets in the west. To an Indian, it gives light, heat, warmth, and to make things grow, and this he understood. And he gave thanks the best way he knew how when the sun went down. Even though they called him a pagan, and he adored the false gods, and one of the sons was his gods. Yet I find it today they've been telling him to get civilized and come out of his way of being a savage and assimilate. This society is what is known as civilization. I find it to him the sun rises from the east and it sets in the west. To him it means an 8-hour a day, 40 hours a week, and paycheck every 2 weeks. He has forgotten and taken for granted something that was precious to the Indian world and the way of life. I wonder how many would ever realize that the sun ever rose from the west and set in the east. Maybe not very many. But today, even today, the Indians still say thank you for the light, heat, the warmth, and the things that grow underneath when he says, East. Oh.
Music from Mescalero Apache singer-songwriter, my friend Mr. A. Paul Ortega, off his Canyon Records CD, A. Paul Ortega, Two Worlds, Three Worlds. The name of the song was entitled The Sunset. I am talking with Mr. Doug Fuller, a young environmental activist who is accompanying Earth Justice Warrior Julia Butterfly Hill on the Circle of Life We the Planet bus tour. Julia Butterfly, Doug Fuller, and Christopher Maeda Peace are traveling cross-country, visiting many colleges in order to encourage students and youth to become more concerned about and active in the protection of all life on the planet. The same concern of us here at Yat Kitishi Native Center. My language would say Tobaknik, would say thank you. And I really appreciate you mentioning that, because one of the things that I try to do on Wolf Mountain Radio is to educate people throughout the world that there's a great diversity of indigenous peoples. We're not like homogenized milk. We're not all the same as American Indians. However, we have many similarities, and one of the similarities is having reverence for Mother Earth, respect for all life, and through prayer and ceremony, sunrise and sunset time is a very sacred time for many tribal nations, and that is something I think that American people can learn and take that into practice, and it does really open up your heart, and that helps your consciousness grow. My next question to you, and I don't want to embarrass you, but it's something of importance to me as a person of color, as an indigenous person, is trying to build coalitions between people of color, so-called minorities, and the more mainstream so-called dominant Western European American society, and that many historically environmental conservation organizations have been predominantly white and even upper middle class people. And so I'm wondering about your thoughts as you've traveled with Julia, how some of the mainstream conservation groups can broaden their understanding of the word environment and think about environmental social justice and think about being more inclusive in helping to bring into the environmental movement people of color, people of culture, and at the same time to have respect for the wisdom and knowledge of African American, Asian American, Pacific Islanders, Hispanic people, Native American people, that we do have many wisdoms and knowledges of how to live in respect with Mother Earth, but our day-to-day survival in many ways have prevented us from having the quote privilege of being considered environmentalists. So I'm asking you to comment on a personal level. What do you think about how mainstream Anglo people can relate more to people of color?
Well, one thing I've heard Julia mention over and over again is how connected we are with the environment, how there really is no separation between people and the environment, and how oftentimes when we try to get rid of pollution, what we are doing is actually putting the pollution off into poor neighborhoods, which unfortunately happens to be people of color often in this country. Realizing that connection and speaking about it more and more, we need to see the connection between the earth and the people, and just doing more outreach into those communities and speaking about this connection to those people, and really focusing on importance of having this unity amongst the different races if we're really going to survive on this planet. I see Julia coming back to this message more and more and helping these people who she often speaks to, a lot of upper class or middle upper class Caucasian people on this tour, and she's bringing that message home to them over and over again about, okay, look at where we're sending these polluting factories and who are the people that are often working in these, and really helping bring awareness to these issues on a human rights scale, you know, because human rights, environmental rights, it's all one thing.
Once again, you are listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, on Global Community Radio, Radio for Peace International, on RadioForAll.net, webcast audio, and now 11 fine community radio stations across Tsudal Island. I always like to ask my radio guests if there's any last comment or question they would like to share that I haven't asked them. So I want to say thank you for being on Native Radio. All the work you do as one of the warriors to help Julia get her message out.
Yeah, my final comment would be gratitude for this radio station, and especially for all Native peoples of this land. The thing I admire most, I think, is the connection to spirit and the Native traditions. Just encourage all listeners to really get in touch with whatever that spiritual connection is for you in order to help create this positive change in the world, because I see a lot of these issues as spiritually connected, or the lack of spirituality is what causes a lot of this. So just really going within and tapping into what that spiritual connection is can really help us create this positive change that we all know is possible and just waiting to happen. So thank you, and many blessings to all.
Anishinaabe flutist Raymond Redfeather off his Heartwood Flute CD entitled Emergence. The name of the song was the CD's title track, Walking in Two Worlds. Ray and I are longtime friends, and Yad Kiddushi Native Center is honored to have Mr. Redfeather as a member of our Council of Advisors. Walking in two worlds, to Ray and I, refers to being a spirit warrior, where one's activism to defend Mother Earth is guided by walking a spiritual path in life. Our outward actions, we all do, in fighting to protect sacred lands, in speaking out wherever we see injustice, must be an extension of one's spirit art. Indigenous peoples' cultural lifeways throughout the world are based on our spirit connection to all life. As we say in my language, Kinon Wantakwasin. The animals and plants, fish and marine life, the birds and insects, the earth and the waters, the air above us. Through prayer and ceremony, through hearing the wisdom of the natural world, by listening to the trees, listening to the animals, as well as the teachings of our spiritual leaders, clan mothers and elders, we hear the sacred interconnections of our life and the responsibility we humans have to care for and protect our Mother Earth, a sacred web of life. In English, it is called the biosphere, our planet's environment. This is the message of Julia Butterfly Hill, which she learned from her teacher, the elder tree, Luna, and the forest spirits during her two-year tree sit to defend an ancient redwood forest in what is now called Northern California, sacred homeland of indigenous peoples of this turtle island, North America. It is now my great pleasure to speak with our other program guest, Christopher, who is here at the Circle of Life's We the Planet Bus Tour information table. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio, sir.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be able to speak with you all today. My name is Christopher Mayeta Peace. I live in Berkeley, California, and I've just been so thrilled to be traveling this country, speaking with folks about what it is to live in accordance with the laws of Mother Earth and a sustainable life.
Would you please talk about your friendship with Julia and some of your longtime experiences?
Well, my friend Jessica Hurley, I used to date her at one time, and we are close friends now. And she co-authored the book, One Makes the Difference, with Julia Butterfly. So I've known Julia for the past 5 years, almost since the time she came down from the tree. I've came on this path of sustainability through really getting in touch with my body. I went into holistic health and body work and really realized, come to the realization that being so stuck in this consumer culture that rewards folks of greed, rewards the mind, it's led us to a dead end. Taking care of my body with good food and good nourishment led me to also looking at, well, how do I connect in with the greater body of the earth? For me, it led me to environmental justice and social justice. I cannot speak about the environment without speaking about the injustices that are the part of the institution of this country. In order to heal myself, I just humbly come out, speak with folks around this country.
I know you were manning the information table for Circle of Life during Julia's talk, but tonight that was one of the questions that I asked that I focused on, where I hopefully politely mentioned that as a person of color, I like the word person of culture, indigenous person, much of the work of Yap Kiddushi Native Center over the years is trying to build interconnections among the so-called white European American dominant society, environmentalists, and indigenous peoples and people of color in the environmental justice movement. And it's a long struggle. It's very hard many times for mainstream conservation environmental groups to really understand that environmental issues is more than just saving a tree or protecting a whale or caring about an eagle, things that we all do, which are sacred to us. But it's really about how we honor all life on Mother Earth, how we have respect for all beings, and understand that there is racism, sexism, and class delineations by white America towards people of color, and that the environmental conservation community historically has been guilty and culpable in not really encouraging involvement and participation or even support of non-white people who live under tremendous conditions of abuse, and is why environmental justice movement really had to form on its own as a way of counterbalancing some of the sabotage that the mainstream environmental groups even did some 20 years ago, for example. Would you talk about your thoughts on environmental justice and how can mainstream environmental conservation groups broaden their understanding
to concepts of social justice and poor people's issues.
I think what's really important is to find where we have our white allies. It's historically environmental groups have marginalized folks of color and poor people. The term conservation historically also meant that indigenous folks, people tied to the land, were locked out under preservation, under conservation laws. Myself, as a person of color, I see myself as a bridge person. My mother is from Okinawa, which is also another occupied land of Japan. Japan occupied Okinawa for the last 200 years, and she identifies as Okinawan. So for myself, I look at how can we, as folks of color, speak to the injustice. I have friends that I've identified as really powerful white allies, folks that have gone through anti-oppression trainings, folks that are vigilant and recognize that they have, that they're beneficiaries of their skin or their class. For me, it's important to be a bridge builder with folks like that. It's very difficult, a person of color sitting in a room full of white folks, to try to speak about these issues. So if we have white allies that can actually teach other white folks around these issues, I think it becomes really powerful.
What's the matter with us?
We're so comfortable, cozy.
What's the matter with us?
We're so daydreaming, dozy.
Why are we polluting our children?
There's no future in that.
Why put food in our poison?
There's no future in that.
Why do away with our woodlands?
Nothing can be gained from that.
Why waste the best of our farmland?
Where's the logic in that?
What's the matter with us?
Oh,
what's the matter with us? Why be warring each other?
There's so much music to know.
Why be fighting each other?
So much good food to enjoy.
Why so afraid of another?
So many countries to know.
Why so afraid of living when there's so much loving to do? What's the matter with us? I'm asking, do you know
what's the matter with us?
What's the matter? I ask myself, mankind starts and back him on the shelf. What's the matter? Tell me, please. I'm asking God, yeah, I'm down on my knees. I'm trying to figure out why I'm giving up trying. What's the matter for me? Tell me why.
What's the matter with us?
What's the matter with us?
What's the matter with us?
What's the matter?
friend, one of the thoughts that I really want to focus on is how we who care about Mother Earth, who care for our life that's sacred, who oftentimes are activists fighting to protect Mother Earth, sacred places, indigenous peoples, and all people's way of life. Many times we talk about protest and we're talking about serious and even negative things that might turn people off. How do we now in the new millennium as activists dream, envision the world we want to be, and how can we put into effect these dreams and visions and positive ways of thought that help not only our own personal growth, but also help people who are, you might say, still asleep, awaken to a better world?
We've been so marginalized over so long that we're always on the ropes and we're in crisis mode, we're in survival mode, we're in defense mode, and it's so hard when that's become internalized and we see our communities falling apart. All we can do is see what's in front of us right here, right now, and to try to envision any alternate future is very difficult. That's part of that colonial mindset that we need to break free from. For me and my activism, I do try to live the world that I want to see. So I build systems, or I bring in systems that are already functioning, that people already know about, that they can grasp. Like what I do in my life is I'm an urban sustainable garden teacher, and I teach gardening to inner city kids. It's all permaculturally based. It utilizes organic principles, and it's something that's tangible for people. Food justice and food sovereignty is a really important thing that I want to share with people in my community. When these neighborhoods are completely filled with liquor stores and fast food, and folks have a high incidence of toxicity in their neighborhoods, asthma, heart disease, diabetes, the list goes on and on. So to bring back sovereignty around food is an important issue for me. I also think that when we talk about the solutions and we create solutions, that takes the power back to us. We've been just seeing the concentration of power in these giant corporations, this consumer mindset of just continuing to buy into this culture is completely destroying us, and having a decentralized way of power, sharing skills, reaching across instead of reaching up for power, having, for me, looking at what power is instead of having a power base of hierarchy based on domination. It's based on egalitarianism, power based on, we call it partner with instead of power over, it's power with. And I think those are some of the ways that I want to model solutions in my life.
When you were talking about agriculture and food sovereignty and self-sufficiency, one of the things that came to mind is what I call biocolonialism and the threat of genetically modified organisms, GMOs, and how, for example, Archer Daniels Midland or Monsanto and other global multinational corporations are making it harder and harder for people to survive and even be able to keep natural varieties of seeds, for example. Would you talk about your thoughts on this growing threat of industrial agriculture, GMOs, and how perhaps even this is part of globalization?
I actually worked on a campaign. I was a co-founder of a movement called Reclaim the Commons, which was really trying to bring more awareness to, it's the next stage of colonialism where corporations can patent life and they can patent human DNA, and it's enclosure of the commons, things that we hold dear for life, things that should be held in trust by all life, by not just human beings but everything on this planet. Water, the air that we breathe, even our cultural heritage is being stolen from us, packaged and then sold back to us at a profit. I think that runs completely counter to what life is. And so this biopiracy, the theft of culture's access to food, a theft of sacred plants like corn, rice, and other communities, wild rice in Minnesota, it's all being taken and stolen. We really want to bring awareness to the new frontier of colonization, and we have to stop that in its tracks.
We're going to end our conversation with this question, and it's about the elders. And when I refer to the elders, I don't just necessarily mean our grandmas and grandparents, but I mean the tree nations and the four-leggeds and the wingeds, the water beings. We say in my language, Kinawantakusin, all the relations. Those are our elders. What are your thoughts about their sacredness and trying to not only protect them, but to learn from our traditional elders, the natural world?
I know we need to move away from thinking that humans are outside of the natural cycle. When we even talk about protecting animals, it's still, there's a mindset that we humans hold the power. It's still that arrogance, and that arrogance is going to either make us go extinct. Mother Nature may not put up with us much longer, but my viewpoint, and I hold it deeply in my spirit, is that we're completely interconnected. I want to differentiate that from sometimes the new age, white, middle class, upper middle class community. They say, oh, we're all one and we're all connected. And to me, this is a really important point to make, is that it's easy to do belly gazing and say that your life is blessed and we're all one when we live in an affluent community and we have access to clean food and healthy, clean air and water. But when I talk about interconnection, it really means that we are part of this web, and that it's our duty and obligation to reach out and see what our actions do in the world. I think it's time for us to really get reconnected with the earth. You know, right now we live in a postmodern world where we don't know what the cycles of nature are anymore. We don't know what animals live here or anything. So coming back to that is really crucial.
With one hand you mess with the whole, and soon there'll be nothing to mess with at all, because we're all interconnected. We better make a move, so if we drive all our fancy cars, and if we cut down all our trees, we're gonna drown in the acid showers. Yeah, yeah, we'll choke on the smog and the breeze. But maybe we'll be starting to a radical change. It's gonna take a lot of effort, it could be arranged, because we're all interconnected. We better make a move, so you will see that be a going, buzzing by. Well, she's an integral part of you and I. You walk through the mountains, majestic and tall. You start to realize that we're incredibly small. All the fish in the ocean, all the birds in the sky. Can we live in this madness or watch the world die? Because we're all interconnected. We better make a move. Yes, we're all interconnected. The earth and the sun and the moon. Yes, we're all interconnected, and we'll find out very soon that if we mess with one, then we mess with the whole, and soon there'll be nothing to mess with at all, because we're all interconnected. We better make a move.
Ba-da-doo-da-da, yeah.
Music from my dear friend, environmentalist, singer-songwriter, Rosie Emery. Her song, We're All Interconnected, is the title track of her CD, We're All Interconnected. Earlier, we featured singer-songwriter Rafi's song, What's the Matter with Us?, sharing concerns about the hurtful things we humans are doing to each other and to our Mother Earth. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I again encourage all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about Julia Butterfly Hill's message for peace with all life through the work of Circle of Life Organization by visiting their website, www.circleoflife.org.
We shall conclude today's broadcast with a song from Haudenosaunee Mohawk singer Elizabeth Hill, entitled Earth Song. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, can all one talk with sin to all of our relations.
Oh, there.